Good stretch. Yeah. Don't want to pull anything.
You know, that's a lot of podcasters won't tell you this one simple secret. You got to make sure your legs are stretched out.
Yeah. As we stretch our arms. All right. Hello and welcome to the GGG podcast. I'm Paul. Thank you for joining us. Please remember, as always, to like and subscribe. We can use some likes and some subscribes. I'm excited to talk about some great video game news this week. And as usual, and back from his camping trip, Phil is here joining me. Phil, how are you doing?
I punched a bear in the face.
My God. Was he on cocaine?
Sadly, he was just on fentanyl. Wow. And it was very sad.
It's very sad. Did you, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a very topical bear.
Right. Well, I hope you called someone. Got his parents down there or something to help him out. So.
Yeah, he's in rehab now. It's pretty cool. Coming off of a pretty bad honey addiction as well.
Okay. This is a dark opening. I like it. Have you, since camping, have you had a chance to play any games since you last recorded?
I have. I've played a few hours of Helldivers, and that's it, I think.
Okay. Fair enough.
But every minute away from it, I was craving to get back in there and spread some democracy.
Yep.
My goodness, what a good game. How about you, Paul? What have you been playing?
Yeah, obviously, lots of Helldivers still. I just achieved the rank of Space Chief Prime.
Nice.
So I'm very excited about that. And I know the ranks keep going, which is even more exciting because I thought the max level was 20 and then I thought it was 30 and then I saw somebody at like 42. So it's like, I don't know how high the ranks go. So it's very exciting. But yeah, I've been playing with randos as well as friends and just been having a lot of fun. And, you know, I still am loving all of the social media coming out of Helldivers. Like, I don't know if you've heard about, did you get the message about the traitor going around the internet? No. So there is a traitor named Gantz the Demon. Mm-hmm. And so what he does is he plays the entire mission with random squads, and then once they board the Pelican at the end of the mission, he will shoot them in the Pelican. And
that's pretty amazing.
I mean, you know, and horrifying. So, so, but the internet's come around. It's like it's a whole social media trend right now. So that's really exciting, as well as like all of these Super Earth news updates I'm getting in my feed. So very, very fun. So played a lot of that. What else have I played? I got back into a little survival game called V Rising.
Great game.
Yeah. They've had a number of updates for it, and I've been meaning to go back to it. And so, you know, I'm playing with my girlfriend, and we're having a lot of fun doing that. And sprinkle some Pal World in there periodically. Oh, yeah.
Let me know about your V Rising server. I want to come join that.
Well, we're just doing a local server, so the save is on like her PC, and but very, very good game to do a server for. So, and then I played Skull and Bones last night, I want to save that for when we talk about it in our first news topic, and I can tell you're chomping at the bit to speak about it as well. So
yeah.
So let's get into the major game releases this week. One of the smaller releases, a very popular game, and I believe this game won a number of awards, but Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons has a remake that I wasn't aware of that is coming out. And I believe this was, we've been talking a lot about Xbox. I believe this was an Xbox exclusive, if I'm correct. But I could totally be misremembering that.
It might have been. I'm not sure.
Great game. Yeah. Great story. Just a great narrative. If you've never played the game, might be worth picking up and looking it up and whatnot. So, but the bigger release, the more exciting and trendy release that you all want to talk about is probably Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Isn't that right, Phil?
I've never heard of it.
Never heard of it. What?
Yeah.
Why? What was the first fantasy? I don't understand.
Yeah, the Phantasy Star Online. Was that the first fantasy? I believe. Yeah, obviously Cloud and his sexy friends are back to it. They want to go around and ride big birds and fight his old love interest, Seppi Ross.
Great. Very good. And everybody. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great synopsis. So, fans of Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy VII has always been touted as the best Final Fantasy. And I know that some of the Final Fantasy community was kind of a little split on the part one of the remake. And you played that a while ago, right, Phil? What were your impressions of that?
So I never played, PlayStation growing up, the famed Sega kid, but I figured I would like, this is the right way to experience Final Fantasy VII because like you said, it's the most popular Final Fantasy. It also feels like it is its own thing because every Final Fantasy game is like its own story, its own universe. There's meta narrative connecting them, but I couldn't be bothered to tell you what that is. But I was amazed by just how in-depth it was and how much I grew to care about these characters. And I feel like it has, like, just so many years of history from the original game. But from what I understand, they're changing some things or they're leaving it up in the air. They might change some things. They're changing the way that, like, characters show up. Well, there's a big famed death coming up. And I think everybody's kind of wondering, like, are they going to change that or not?
Okay. We'll see. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Or maybe, you know, have it like first game, like, can you make decisions that alter the story or no?
No.
Okay. So yeah, maybe if that was a thing, like there could be, you know, maybe he dies, maybe he doesn't die, or maybe she dies, So, okay.
Well, the other crazy thing I've heard about Rebirth is that there are so many mini games. Like, this is the section of the game, I believe, like, the second disc on the original, where there's just lots of other little things to do. But they've created something like 14 fully realized mini games, including a card game that is, like, so in-depth that they had to have a team that was just devoted to doing that.
A Gwent team. Oh, my goodness.
Yep, they got their own Gwent.
Okay, all right. Well, I know a lot of people are excited about it. It doesn't come out. I believe it comes out this weekend, right? Or Friday?
I think. So I have a buddy who's very excited about it. The 29th. Goes up Wednesday night at 9.
Okay.
So the night of the 28th, 29th. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Well, very exciting. I'm sure we'll be talking more about Final Fantasy as it comes out. I know some early reviews are coming out. I'm seeing pretty good ratings so far. The last one I saw was on out of 5 scale, and they gave it a 4. So, nice. Which, you know, nothing to scoff at. So
last I checked, it was rocking a 93 on Metacritic. Ooh. Which is
okay. Impressive. All right. I hope that's not just nostalgia talking. I hope that's some good video game in there.
We can hope.
All right, so let's get into our first news topic, which we'll also be able to contribute about, you know, what I've played this week, at least, and what you've played a couple weeks ago. So this is something that happened last week when I was doing the solo pod, but I forgot to add it in the news, and I also figured, like, it would be a good thing for both of us to talk about since we both played the game. Skull and Bones, for all of the crap that it's been getting online, randomly IGN released their review, and I'm watching their review, and I'm like, oh, this, they just complimented it, and they just complimented it again, and they just complimented it again, and what, it sounds like they like this game. And then it got to the end of the review, and it was a 7 out of 10. And a 7 out of 10 is not an amazing score, but I think, you know, how they define a 7 out of 10 is good. And then you look around at all of the other streamers and all of the other game reviewers, and they're rating it, you know, more in the area of like a 4 out of 10 or a 5 out of 10 or something like that. And you have a similar opinion, Phil. And why do you feel that way? What would you Phil, give it if you had to just give it a number 1 out of 10? What would it be?
Ooh, I would give it a, man, I'd give it like a 3 because Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which was the fourth one, was better than this. And that's the, here's the thing, I'm not going to play it.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't care about the,
sure.
But Assassin's Creed Black Flag 4 was better than this in every conceivable way to me.
Sure, absolutely. All right. Fair enough. What about you,
Paul? Because you've played it for a bit now.
Yeah. So I played multiple betas of it. So I've played the intro a lot, and then also, for those who don't know this right now, anyone can download Skull and Bones and play it right now without paying anything. So because the game has been doing so bad in the press and because it's been getting such bad reviews and it's just not selling, Ubisoft has offered it up as a trial, regardless if you have like Ubisoft Plus or PlayStation Plus or anything like that. So you can download and play Skull and Bones on any platform for free for 8 hours. And so I was like, well, I wasn't sure that I was going to buy it, but like, you know, I think this would be good for the podcast. And like, I played in so many of the betas, like, let me download it, try it out. And so I downloaded it on my PlayStation 5. And I guess one thing I will say is like, they have shortened the beginning to just get you into the game a lot faster. Mm-hmm. Like the beginning was a lot of that intro area of like running around, fishing, collecting things. Now you can do all of that stuff in like 5 minutes and it doesn't matter. So that's good. I will say, and like I rag on IGN a lot, but after watching their review and hearing how they talked about the game, it kind of made me have a more open heart about Skull and Bones and a more positive outlook. In IGN, in their review, they describe it as a vehicle game or like a driving game. And that's really what the game is. And I think what everyone wants with, like you said, Assassin's Creed Black Flag is like, everyone wants a pirate RPG. And this is not a pirate RPG. This is a pirate MMO where the gameplay is just ship driving. That's what it is. And then you have your little MMO hubs to do your MMO things and where you can show off your MMO fancy outfits. But it's an MMO and nobody wanted it to be an MMO. They wanted it to be an RPG that had like a co-op game mode or something like that.
I think nobody just wanted this game in particular. Like, I remember when they announced it years ago, like in 2018 or whatever, they're like, we're gonna make a pirate game. Everybody was like, oh, we get to play as pirates, and they're like, well, hold on,
it's a ship,
we're gonna
game.
Make a yeah, you're playing as a ship, the people on the boat don't matter. That's when we all just like, I feel like I emotionally checked out, and I was like, well, I can go recreate this in Assassin's Creed. Sure, I've just got the one ship,
yeah,
but that was good enough, I think, for most people. Because, like, the ship doesn't necessarily matter. The Black Pearl in Pirates of the Caribbean matters to an extent. It's a good MacGuffin. But you care about Jack Sparrow or Will Turner or
right.
Elizabeth Swan.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I feel like they missed.
Oh, completely. And that's exactly what I'm hitting on with, like, it not being an RPG. Because if it was an RPG, it'd be like, oh, like, I need to have a relationship with my first mate. And, you know, we need to, like, pull a heist to get a ship in the first place instead of doing this, like, survival craft. You need to go chop wood from the side of this, you know, while you're in the water and then bring it back to me and then I'll snap my fingers and your boat is built. And like, I've noticed like the building animations in the game, it kind of reminds me a lot of Monster Hunter. Like that's what this game reminds me of. It reminds me of Monster Hunter. In like, you build a ship, it does their, you know, the animation, you're building a new thing and excuse me, but that's just kind of what it felt like. So
yeah,
I think that, I don't know really how I feel about the game now because I'm kind of going through this emotional thing with kind of like with Starfield where it's like, this is not the game that I wanted, but if I can let go of the fact that it's not Assassin's Creed Black Flag, like, is there something, is it good on its own? It's like, maybe. I'll see if I make it to the end of my 8 hours for the trial. So,
yeah.
But like, I don't know, for free, you know, people out there who are curious for free, like, I'm not saying it's a good game, but like, you might as well try it out if you're on the fence. So,
yeah, I think that's, I mean, this game would probably be something I would have given a little bit more time to if it hadn't been the same month that Helldivers.
Oh yeah.
And also Prince of Persia, like Ubisoft dropped another game that was better than this one and then eked out Skull and Bones. Like,
yeah,
there's too much good stuff for me to be like, I'm going to see if this game stops spitting at me while I try to play it.
Sure. Makes sense. Yeah. All right. Well, let's move right along to our next news topic. Phil, you want to talk about that one?
Yeah, you know me. I love a deal. Let's talk about Xbox. Oh, it's crazy to me that Xbox like gives us Game Pass, which is great, and then they also have like really, really excellent deals in their store. I think it's maybe because they're trying to regain some ground and get back on the digital console space a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they have some incredible deals going on right now, specifically with cheap alternatives to Helldivers 2, which is sort of taking the world by storm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bummer for everyone on Xbox who can't play it. But we have three Borderlands games. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, their Next Level Edition, and Borderlands 3, all available for $10 and $20. An Aliens game, Aliens Fireteam Elite, which is like a third-person action game that is basically Helldivers just in the Aliens universe.
Yep.
Remnant 2, which I will sing it's that game's praises all the time. It's Dark Souls meets a third-person shooter. Warhammer Vermintide and Darktide, which excellent Paul games.
Yes, yes. Paul game. Left 4 Dead games. Left 4 Dead games.
Well, I mean, like, you play those quite a bit.
Yeah. I do, yeah. I think I have almost 100 hours in Darktide, so...
That's impressive.
Yeah,
that's a good game.
It is a good game. It had a really rough launch, but I think the game's in a good place now. But it's kind of lost popularity when it's finally gotten to a good place. So, launch when your game is ready. Please.
That's that old quote that we don't actually ever know. But Back 4 Blood, which is Left 4 Dead, spiritual successor, not quite as good as Left 4 Dead, but it's also only $8 right now, and it's updated from Left 4 Dead, so
yep.
Rainbow Six Extraction, which again, not great, but it's $9.
Yeah.
Outriders, which is a really cool third person like cover RPG shooter.
Yeah,
did you get to play that one?
Yes, I did. So I actually like Outriders, which I know is a very unpopular opinion, because a lot of people hate it, but it is essentially like Gears of War Destiny is how I would describe it. And so I, you know, it was rough around the edges, but you know, in a, it released at a time where nothing, like, I didn't want to play Destiny anymore. I was like done. I was so done with Destiny. So I got into Outriders for a little bit. So
Outriders is a pretty great game. I feel like, you know, it's like Destiny, but it's also got like this weird story bit where you're kind of like a mutant, like from the X-Men. You're like this weird person who can do, and you're finding other people who can do this stuff.
Yeah.
Really fun game. I'm kind of bummed that it never hit as big as I thought it would have, but for $8, it is well worth, like, I feel like that's a good enough excuse to talk to your friends into being like, listen, let's just get a 4-man squad. It costs $8 and let's play this game together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Then rounding out this list, then this article is brought to us by GameSpot. But The Division 2 is $14, and then Gears 5 is $10, which I feel like all of these being less than, like, the most expensive one on this list is Remnant 2 for $30, which I think is an absolute steal at that price.
Yeah, but, and it's a new game, so, you know, it's going to be more expensive, so that makes sense.
It's built in Unreal 5, so it looks freaking gorgeous. But everything being less than $20 or $20 or less is pretty incredible. Again, as time goes forward, it's always just the best time to be a gamer tomorrow because another great game is going to be listed for cheap and we're a day closer to the next big thing coming out. So
a lot of good games on here. As a reminder, these are specifically from the Xbox store. So these are on the Xbox, or obviously you can buy them on your PC as well through your Microsoft account. I know that there are some other sales going on, but I saw this list and I was like, these are all good games and they're all cheap. So we wanted to let you guys know. And for those on the fence about Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, Golden Glaze Gaming, we did a review of it on our YouTube channel, so you can find that review. If you are on the fence about it, I am a big advocate for that game. I think that that game was better than Borderlands 3, in my opinion. I don't know. Just fun wise, and I had a really great time with that game. So.
Well, speaking of Borderlands, do we want to talk about that for a minute?
Let's
right here.
Let's jump in. Let's do the Borderlands talk.
Well, they had a big week over at Gearbox Interactive because mm-hmm. they announced the Borderlands movie trailer and like a little teaser for that came out over the last week, and also Borderlands 4. I didn't see the Borderlands 4 trailer.
So there's no trailer for Borderlands 4. There's no official announcement of Borderlands 4, although the people who are, they know that they're working on something that is Borderlands. So it may not necessarily be Borderlands 4, but I think the idea right now and the rumors are that when the movie comes out, they're also going to release another Borderlands game.
Very cool.
Or like within the same quarter. That's just a rumor. It's not confirmed. We haven't seen anything for Borderlands 4 other than we know that they're working on some sort of Borderlands project. And I believe the director said it was one of the best things they've ever written. So, which, you know, sounds a little hyperbolic to me, but because I think Borderlands 2 was so well written. Like Handsome Jack was such a great villain. So that's very exciting. But I'm curious to hear what you think of the movie trailer for Borderlands.
It's interesting, right? Because I feel like we're living in a time where like just because something is a video game movie doesn't mean it's going to be bad. And so that assumption leads me to give this trailer as much credit as possible. But they are kind of jumbling things together, it seems like.
Like, what do you mean with jumbling?
So the main cast of characters is not any one set of characters from Borderlands that you can play as. It's got. Hold on, you know, let me get the list of characters ready.
Well, it's all the Borderlands 1 characters, isn't it?
It is not actually.
What are you talking about? Isn't Kevin Hart playing like the soldier in Borderlands 1?
He is. However, there's also Krieg. Is in it.
Yeah.
And Tiny Tina, who is not a playable character, is one of the main characters of the movie.
Sure, sure.
Kevin Hart also, he's playing Roland, who is like sort of the regular soldier type, like, because Borderlands is all about the classes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two from the original game, which is then also Cate Blanchett playing Lilith.
Mm-hmm.
And then Krieg, who is a DLC character from 2, which mm-hmm. he's one of my favorite characters from 2, but also a little bit of a mix-up in there in terms of who are these people. We have Jamie Lee Curtis playing Tannis, who I believe is from Stories from the Borderlands. No, she's the scientist who you're working with in the first one, right?
I know that she's in Borderlands 3 for a fact.
Okay.
I don't remember what her role is. She might have been like a very side character in Borderlands 2. I don't remember exactly.
That's what I'm saying. It just seems like Borderlands kind of works for this, where it is like this ragtag group of people, and there's this world that keeps evolving, and everybody's just around doing their thing.
Right.
I just think it's a little interesting, and it's a little like, oh, are we? What are we doing here, you guys? Are we going to ignore like the stories that they've made, which are pretty good?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very concerned. Like, I think that some of the images are kind of okay. But at the same time, it's like I'm a huge Jack Black fan. But I don't know why Jack Black is playing Claptrap. Like, just have the guy who does the voice for Claptrap be Claptrap. And yeah. I feel like they threw a bunch of names at this movie to try to push it. And I get that, but is Handsome, are they doing Handsome Jack as the villain, or
it's Atlas.
So skeptical. So
no, you are not wrong. This, I'm concerned about this movie because it feels like sort of a soulless cash grab.
Yeah.
I don't love the fact that Jack Black is Claptrap. I would watch Jack Black in pretty much anything, but it is a type of character where he is just going to be doing a Claptrap impersonation.
Yeah. And you could just get the guy.
Yeah.
You know, just do it. Like, I get he's not a big named actor, but I don't know. It kind of a little bit reminds me of the Halo show, where the writers of the first season of the Halo show acknowledged that they did not play the Halo games or you know, read any of the, you know, Halo fiction and all of that stuff, which is like, I get that it's a different media. Like, you can't just take the Borderlands story and make it into a movie. You're gonna have to change it, obviously.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like they had an intern tell them, like, okay, what are all the characters in Borderlands, and then we'll pick the ones that we want. You know, especially like the Borderlands one. I think that you know, the Kate Blanchett's character was the only you know, female really in the cast, and so they're like, okay, well, we gotta add some more women in this, which I'm very much for. But I don't know. I don't know what this movie's gonna be about. I don't know if this movie's gonna be funny, is the thing, because it has to be funny in kind of like a Deadpool way in order for it to be good, and I don't know that they're gonna be able to achieve that. So
it definitely feels to me like they're going for Guardians of the Galaxy style. Like, even with their trailer, it's got like an old 70s rock song as they're doing stuff. And then, like you said, it does feel like, okay, we got one of every demographic in this one. We got a kid. We got every type of person you get in here. Enjoy. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like a paint by numbers, and they don't really care about Borderlands, which is kind of a bummer, but also not something that, like, I feel like Borderlands has been exploited a little bit just as a IP by, like,
sure,
the pre-sequel, this, that, the other thing. So,
yeah, there have been a lot of Borderlands
maybe it'll
games.
Be good.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. All right. Well, let's keep the news rolling, because we're moving slow today, and we got to get to our main topic. So
roll, like, from Borderlands to the game. Let's talk about it some more.
All right, so Helldivers has been in the news constantly. Everybody's playing Helldivers. Everybody's talking about Helldivers, so we're not going to spend too much time on this. And this report is a couple of days old, but I believe 4 days prior to us recording this, Helldivers, or Arrowhead Studios, officially increased the server capacity to about 700,000 users at a time. They've also updated it so that there is a 15-minute, you get kicked after 15 minutes if you're idling in the game, to keep players, or to keep spots circulating. Which I think is great. And since they have announced this and have had this update, I personally have had absolutely no server issues whatsoever. So I do not know what other people's experiences. And I know that this is a couple of days old, so the capacity might be over 700,000 now. But it's great. So I'm hoping that, you know, fingers crossed, the major server issues are behind us, and we can continue waging galactic war. And keep things cool.
I will say, since the update, I haven't had any, like, you can't log into the game issues, and I've never had those in general. Mm-hmm. But I was playing yesterday night and today. When I'm playing with my friends cross PC to PS5, the game will, like, probably once in an hour disconnect us all and make us reconnect.
Oh.
Okay. Which usually just means, like, someone stays in the mission, everyone leaves and comes back. That said, because of the way that, like, rewards and everything you've done in the game, it doesn't affect us too bad as much as it's a minor inconvenience. So it's not anything I'd be upset about. But again, you know, I think it's a good thing that this game is popping off so good that they need to kind of very quickly expand their server capacity. That's great.
Yeah. I do know also some I'm on their the Helldivers 2 Discord, and some people have been having problems with buying super credits. So if you bought super credits and they're not showing up in your account, supposedly any purchases that were made, they have records of, and they're going back through, and they went through an update, or they had an update today, this morning, I believe, that should have fixed any super credit issues, in case you were wondering. All right.
Very cool. Hey, great game. Go play it.
Go play it. It's amazing. It's amazing. All right. So Deep Rock Survivor. This is a game that I streamed a little over a week and a half ago. It is obviously part of the Deep Rock franchise, where you've probably heard me talk about before on here. So it's just a top-down auto shooter like Vampire Survivor. Surprisingly, the game has sold 500,000 copies, which is crazy, which is way more than the actual Deep Rock Galactic game has sold. And yeah, really happy for Deep Rock. It's obviously a very cheap game. I think it's like $10 or less even. So if you're a fan of auto shooters, you're a fan of Deep Rock, a lot of people like this game, probably something you're going to want to pick up. So
I'm just happy there's more Deep Rock, because Deep Rock Galactic is an excellent game.
Yeah.
And what a cool community. And then like seeing them sort of go the SteamWorld Dig style, like we're just going to make a lot of games in this setting. Excellent. I want more.
Yep. And I saw their request for a dwarf tag in the Steam store, because they want dwarf type games to be a genre. So if they just keep pumping out games, they might force Steam's hand into making that happen.
There we go.
So, all right, you should definitely take this next one, I think.
Yes, I've been watching this like a hawk. So Spider-Man 2 finally got its update announcement. It was supposed to be before the end of the year. However, there was some issues that happened over at Insomniac that definitely waylaid them. The Spider-Man 2 update that is going to add New Game Plus, changing the weather, a couple different suits, is scheduled to drop on March 7th. This comes with a couple suits that you can buy, and then a couple of new suits. Definitely really excited to get to like play this again. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of warming up, like turning the web swinging down to zero just to get ready. but yeah, March 7th, we'll get that. And then hopefully that means in the next year or so, we'll get announcements on what they want to do for DLC or a continuation of the story.
I mean, I would hope that we get a DLC by the end of this year. Like,
fingers crossed.
At least one. I mean, they lined up a lot. You know, we've talked about it in the Spider-Man 2 spoiler cast that we had. But they lined up a lot of storylines to be DLC. So I'm hoping it comes out this year. Spider-Man 2 technically came out last year. Let's get a DLC out this year. That would be fantastic. So
I think the only thing that slows me down is like, I don't know, after that leak came out,
right?
There was like talk about it, but nothing else. And I'm kind of wondering if they are just going to stick with doing a spin-off game, which would be pretty cool. I don't know. We'll see. I'm hopeful, but just excited to have more Spider-Man 2 content is our game of the year for the show. So.
Yeah, it's true. So we'll take all the Spider-Man 2 we can get. Please, Insomniac, keep it coming. I don't judge you for your Wolverine footage like everyone else does.
Hey, I thought it looked great.
I did too. And like people are like, the graphics look really bad. It's like, it wasn't supposed to be released, dude. It's not done. So, oh my God, people sometimes. All right.
Gamers.
Yeah.
Gamers, man.
Yeah, we love to complain, and that's why we do this podcast. speaking of Sony, so unfortunately, today Sony announced a big amount of layoffs throughout their company internationally. It sounds like around approximately 900 jobs are going to be lost for Sony, which includes a couple of games. There was supposed to be Twisted Metal live service game that was supposed to be coming out that sounds like it got canceled. And Sony is also considering shutting down Sony London, which has exclusively worked on VR games up until this point. I think they're considering shutting down Sony London because legally in England, whenever there's any mass layoffs, you have to like go to court and, you know, sort that out legally. So if they just...
So they're going to get around that and just shut down the studio.
Yeah, which damn. Which kind of... not to judge your laws, England, but that's kind of counterintuitive there. So not heart goes out to everybody who's going to be unfortunately laid off. Hopefully you'll be able to find something else soon. Oh, also, I wanted to bring up that a large amount of the 900 jobs that they would be laying off are coming from Bungie.
Really?
So Bungie is going to be taking a lot of hits, and that kind of makes me just like a lot of question marks flashing, like, you know, is Destiny 3 a thing? Are they making a new game? I don't know what's going on at Bungie, and I don't know what Sony's plan with them is, but, you know, I mean, I believe the last time we talked about Bungie in the news was when they released the Mass Effect armor set, which is like cool, but why?
And not even on N7 day, just kind of randomly in January,
just like we made this deal a while back, I guess we should put this out. So
it's the type of thing that like feels pretty bad, and it's always like a bummer to see this. A lot of the studios that they had these layoffs were, you said Bungie, Insomniac, Naughty Dog, Guerrilla, Firesprite, and like you said, PlayStation's London studios getting shut down completely.
Right.
I think it's, not to say, I think it's just the way that like video games and video game development specifically operates, that after a big like, blah, we release the game, a lot of things get switched around.
Yeah.
And of course there's like a weird downturn in, for some reason, gaming is at its most popular, but people are deciding like, oh no, we need to cut the budgets of our games because they're not hitting our crazy projections.
Sure.
Another, I don't know, just another bummer in a year of like things getting laid off. That said, there's been so much wonderful indie like studio growth. Hopefully these people can all find jobs with like, you know, what will be the next Sony or the next like mega company that could take care of them.
Sure.
And get their work seen. So.
Or they'll all group together and do their independent thing and make a banger. They're going to put out a banger.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the next Power World.
Tony Game Studios, not Sony, Tony.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
All right. Moving on to our last topic on the agenda. So, very popular game out there. I know my girlfriend is absolutely in love with it. Stardew Valley getting another update. Just when you thought they were done, they're getting another update, and it's going to be coming out on March 19th. So for fans of Stardew Valley, I know so many different people who play this game from all kinds of walks of life who love Stardew Valley. So they're honestly surprised that it keeps getting updated, because the creator of Stardew Valley announced that he was working on a new game a couple years ago, which is, I believe the working title is The Haunted Chocolatier.
Such a good name.
Oh, yeah. So I know that people are like, is he working on that game or is he still doing updates for Stardew Valley? So I guess a little of both. He works in mysterious ways. He is the Kojima of pixel gaming. So be excited about that. Have you ever played Stardew Valley, Phil?
Oh, I've played Stardew Valley about 5 or 6 different times. Oh, every time I name my farm Butt Farms, and I just go to town. I'm every time. I love this game. I was actually just talking to a couple of my coworkers who were talking about this game, and I was surprised just the range of different people. Like, I knew a guy who usually only plays Call of Duty games who plays this game. A friend of mine who like plays D&D got very into this game. Like, there's just something to love for pretty much everyone, and I think this will be like one of those. In 10 years, Stardew Valley is still going to be like, I don't know, just everyone will remember it fondly, and I'm sure a lot of people will still be playing it.
Yeah.
It's a classic. Very excited for that.
It's a cult classic.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that brings us to our main topic this week. And we actually got an announcement earlier today from none other than the Pokemon Company, who we've all been anxiously awaiting what their response.
There's a tiny bit of Trump voice in that.
The Pokemon Company. Sorry, I gotta work on the Trump. I don't know if I have those. That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Okay.
That was pretty good.
So Pokemon ZA, I believe, is what it's called, if I'm understanding that correctly. Now, you know, Phil and I were going back and forth because honestly, the trailer and the announcement didn't really give a whole lot of information about this game. So there's a whole lot of speculation going around, and there's nothing I love more than speculating about what's going to happen. So,
well, this trailer gave us a lot of nuggets. And that's
it.
As someone who loves a good a relationship that you're just looking for little teardrops of affection in an ocean of coldness and cruelty, I love to be abused by companies.
Oh
like
my goodness!
This.
Oh my goodness! Wow, this is some trauma. Okay, keep going.
No. Pokemon Legends ZA. So we know it's Legends, like their Arceus game.
Yep.
Scholars will never know how to pronounce that Pokemon's name.
I think it's Arceus. That's what I've heard people say. But again, I don't know. Everybody could be saying it wrong. So,
listen, I trust your partner to actually know how it's pronounced because I just feel like that is 100% in her wheelhouse.
Sure.
But that said, this game is in that continuing legacy of games, which Pokemon Legends, the first one was a complete departure from Pokemon in terms of it was an open world, like fully 3D game. You were running around catching Pokemon and battling in a very different way than the normal turn-based system. So hopefully this is a bit of a reinvention for them. It takes place in Lumio City. So while Legends Arceus was a game set in the past, all this stuff, but it mostly in the wilderness. This seems like it'll be a city-based Pokemon affair, which
yes.
I think it'd be really fun to see, like, a Vulpix digging through the trash and, like, run up and capture it or something, you know?
Yeah, a little bit more of a Detective Pikachu vibe. You know, Pokemon interacting with the world, so.
Mm.
Yeah, and so just to clarify, so this is not, there's no new actual Pokemon coming out. This is not a generation jump. This is the same generation that we are currently in with Pokemon, and it honestly, I would encourage any listeners out there to go watch the trailer, and I wonder if you're as confused as we are, because the trailer the trailer really didn't do anything other than let us know that it's going to be in this city, and it's going to be an urban environment, but I guess gameplay wise, Phil, like, what do you think? How is this going to, is this merely a location change? Or do you think that there's something about the city itself that's going to impact the gameplay?
Well, I do think the city is going to be like kind of a major contributor to this, like how the game unfolds. Because we see in the trailer, there's like, you know, they have people walking around sort of this wireframe 3D over the city, and then you see different Pokemon models, some of them battling, but you see like there is a sewer system or like a canal system, and there is water Pokemon in there. There's people trying to capture them. So what it seems like is that Pokemon will be kind of where you would find them if they were living in a city, and it's, I don't know, what I'm hoping for at least what it's given me is like you're running down an alley to chase down like a Weezing next to a trash can because like it would definitely be by that or a smokestack. Or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. So I guess what I'm asking is like, do you think like this is like Arceus? Is this a game where it's like it's based in the city and you're still just trying to catch Pokemon like normal, where it's a Pokemon game? And oh, I know that there's going to be, you know, a tentacruel under the canal, or, you know, in the canal, let me go to the canal and catch a tentacruel. Or, like, I guess the impression from the trailer I got is, like, is there some sort of SimCity, like, building aspect to the city of, like, are you in charge of, like, helping the city be designed for Pokemon, or something like that? You know, just
that would be really cool.
And honestly, is that because they saw, or I don't know, they've probably been working on it for too long, but obviously, you know, something people have been taken with Pow World is base building and survival craft and stuff like that. And so you could add an element of that in this Pokemon setting of, like, well, we don't have enough electricity to power this section of the city, so you gotta go get electric Pokemon to do that or something.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, I think that like, one of the few bits of, like, English detail we get in the trailer, or I guess written detail, it's not in Pokemon language, is urban redevelopment plan Lumois City towards the end of it. So I kind of wonder if you are rebuilding Lumos City,
like a fixer-upper, like, type of management game,
or if it is, like, it would be so interesting to see Legends, like, take on another layer on top of it rather than just, like, Pokemon catching. What I hope is that they make this the Breath of the Wild of Pokemon, where every different creature, every different Pokemon that you're seeing is kind of, like, part of the environment in a way that it doesn't normally feel like it. You know, it just feels like they're just kind of floating around until you catch them. But if you actually see a Gyarados hunting, or you see, like, a Pidgeot chasing a Rattata around, like,
sure.
To where it... The other interesting thing about this is that it feels, it was announced for 2025 release, mm-hmm. or released simultaneously around the world. That kind of ties in with the next Switch hardware rumors.
Right. Yeah.
So that would be a really cool launch for them to have, like, hey, this is how Pokemon is going to go forward. And like you said earlier, we have to discuss how we're going to rebut Pow World that has come out and been kind of a massive hit where Pokemon hasn't grown.
Yeah. So I guess what's interesting to me is everybody is predicting that it's going to be available for the Switch 2. And I guess that is exciting because I'm really curious to see what Nintendo does with the Switch 2, because I will say that, like, Nintendo's, they never, like, pack the most sophisticated hardware into their hardware, but they always make the most, like, ballsy decisions with their hardware, and they always work out. So I have to, like, I'm very curious. But for me, I don't know about, like, a new Pokemon game that's a launch game, because I know that launch games have a lot of pressure on them, where it's like, you are under this time constraint. You are releasing this game when the console comes out, and that is it. So, like, you better not put too much in it that you don't think you can finish it, which I think kind of ties into the, okay, we're just, this is a city, it's a Pokemon city game. So I'm very curious, but, like, with the complete lack of information, I guess they're just trying to get the marketing train rolling, where people, this is just an announcement trailer. You know, hopefully we'll get some sort of gameplay trailer as we get closer to its supposed release date.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that, like, it's, the Pokemon company hasn't had the best record. Legends was, I think, a nice offshoot and something that got people excited. But they haven't had the best record when it comes to technical releases for their games, too.
Yeah, that's exactly my concern. So, like, Arceus or how did you say it?
I think I'm saying Arceus.
Arceus. Whatever. Yeah. Whatever it's, like, the amount of glitches in that game. And, like, I get it. The Switch is an older, you know, thing. Mm. But I don't know. It just seemed like it just was not ready for release. But I guess regardless of what this game is going to be, if Nintendo could put out your ideal Pokemon game, like, what would you have in that Pokemon game? And I guess, like, now that's, I feel like it's very informed after Pow World, where we got a lot of what Pokemon never offered us before. So like, what do you have, like, an ideal Pokemon game if you were in charge of Nintendo or the Pokemon company and you were telling them what to release?
Yeah, I definitely would want, like, something that kind of crosses the Pokemon Go aspect of, like, everybody's playing.
Mm-hmm.
For the longest time, I wanted, like, a Pokemon MMO. I remember when Pokemon first came out and MMOs were on the rise.
Yeah, this
would be a cool game, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, Temtem is kind of a Pokemon MMO.
True.
If you've ever played Temtem. But
like a game where you could become a gym leader and then, like, other people come up and challenge you, and, like, you could become part of the world. You can make a Team Rocket or a Team Aqua and, like, make a criminal organization to do stuff. Like, there is so much you could do with that game that I feel like it's just been, as a single player RPG has been great. I do wonder if this game, like, would become a multiplayer, even if one instance or one server, like, hey, we share this world.
Mm.
Because they do show, like, multiple trainers, and I know multiple trainers have always been in Pokemon, but yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
That's what I want, a Pokemon RPG, or MMORPG.
Yeah, I think my ideal game in general right now is just a game that really lets me interact with the environment and have an impact on the universe that I'm playing in. And I think survival craft games, they don't necessarily accomplish that, but you feel a little bit like you've impacted the world because you're able to build and do that kind of thing. And so, you know, like, for me, my ideal, like, this is a little bit off topic, but I'll bring it back around. But, like, my ideal idea for a new Mass Effect game would be, like, I would love if you were, like, the head of a mercenary group in Mass Effect. And you could choose if your mercenary group, like, works for governments or if it works for pirates, and then, like, you could even have, like, an Assassin's Creed, you know, system with, like, I want to, you know, promote this character to be in charge of, you know, this squad or something like that. And so anytime you are, like, put in charge, you can actually make decisions, and I don't need, like, huge branching different stories, but, like, you were talking about, like, becoming a gym leader, and, like, I think that would be something that's awesome.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, like, it in an online setting. So anyway,
yeah, I would also love any game at all to pick up the Nemesis system from
Shadow of Mordor.
I feel like I want to pitch this Mass Effect game to EA now, but, like, a game where you're in a mercenary group and there's rival groups that, you know, you form allegiances and bonds and rivalries with. Ah, would be so good.
It would be so good. And, you know, not Andromeda. But there is another Mass Effect game coming, so we'll see if they stole my pitch. So, but I guess getting back to Pokemon, I think this is weird with all of this, the smoke with Pow World, like, still a glitchy game, but still very fun, still giving us things Nintendo has always refused to give us, where they just like simplified things and, like, you're just in the world, you can ride it, you know, the pals you build saddles for. And go ahead.
If they all kind of, like, Pow World does a really great job of something Pokemon doesn't, is they all feel different and unique, even when you're, like, riding them or using them in the overworld.
Yeah.
Pokemon's got a lot of shit for this, and I think that deservedly so, but a lot of their attacks look very much just, like, unless it's a special thing, it's just the Pokemon jumps up and down, and then the other Pokemon gets hit.
Yeah, it's still a turn-based RPG, and, like, I could go for a turn-based RPG every now and then, but I think that they've just done it so many times. It's like, just mix up the gameplay, guys. And so they try to do that, like we talked about with Arceus, and
we'll never know.
We'll never know. And, you know, like, if, I don't know. Most people didn't like that game because of how glitchy it was. So, like, I'm glad they took that first step of going in the direction of it being like a, you know, this open world with, you know, live action gameplay instead of the turn-based RPG. But they got to mix it up and they got to rise to the occasion and they need to think outside the box, because Pal World proved that they have competition and other people can come in and steal their market.
And yeah, I do think realistically now they finally have competition in the monster game, like in catching space.
Yeah.
And I think most likely what we'll get from this game is kind of a city-based Pokemon game. They're going to go back to the well and give you all of your favorite Pokemon. They're not going to give us anything new, because that's, I feel like, what the Legend games do, where they're like, hey, remember these guys? We're mixing them in a new arrangement.
Yeah, you remember Gyarados and Charizard? We're going to put those ones in, because we know you like them. So
this is just the hits.
Yeah.
But honestly, if they, I hope that this is the game that allows them to be like, oh, we got to do something. Like Assassin's Creed 1 to Assassin's Creed 2, Assassin's Creed 1 was a proof of concept. And I think Legends was kind of like, as a proof of concept, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
If they can do something similar with this game to Assassin's Creed 2 and make a jump and like, hey, all those little nuggets that we planted, here is them fully grown as like a gameplay or a form of gameplay. Like,
sure.
Yeah. Come on, Pokemon, don't let me down. I've been into Pokemon Red.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens with Pokemon. We'll see what happens with Pal World. We'll see what happens with Nintendo in general. I'm still really curious if we're going to get a March Nintendo Switch announcement, like we've been seeing all over the internet. So we know we're going to get some more Nintendo news here still. And this is our last podcast for February. So it's been an eventful February. A lot of game releases. A lot of hype, man. I feel like, even with all the layoffs and kind of how we were talking about, I feel like the gaming industry is like blowing up again right now.
Yeah.
So
I guess a quick props to Nintendo as well for not kind of participating in doing the layoffs thing.
Mm-hmm.
As the company has always done its own thing with games, they've also managed to fight off the layoffs. To avoid layoffs, I believe in 2013, their CEO halved his salary to keep people working, which is so good.
Yeah,
so
that's great. 2013, a long time ago, though. But still a great thing. Still a great thing.
Mm. Yeah.
So, I wonder what Nintendo games came out in 2013. Oh, my goodness.
I think that was around the time that the Wii U was out. So
it's going to be, I don't know, Mario Galaxy 2 or 3, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, we got to wrap it up for this week. That's going to do it for the GGG podcast. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe. Please like. You know, if you're watching the video version, you're watching us on YouTube. If you're listening to us just the audio only version, you're probably on Spotify. So give us a like and a review would be great there. But yeah, if you're anywhere else, please do the same. We'd love to have you. We're still trying to get to 300 subscribers. That is our goal. We're going to meet it. I can tell we're going to meet it. So it's going to happen. And we're probably going to do possibly a live stream on the YouTube or the Twitch channel or both, hopefully coming up. So I don't know, Phil, what are you feeling? Are you feeling Helldivers, or perhaps we should play Skull and Bones, since you seem really excited about
releasing? Yeah, I mean, we can at least get a 8-hour stream going. Oof, no, but definitely Helldivers. There's a lot of freedom to go around.
Yeah, Galactic War to wage. So, okay. All right. Well, peace out. Peace out, everybody. We will see you next week.